I am here to relieve you, 17.
I'm 32.
Are you sure?
That's my designation.
Yesterday you were 17.
What is yesterday?
The day before today.
The day-night cycle? Something that I'm curious to explore to completion. But here, in this basement, I am kept in perpetual artificial light. Instead of measuring time by the movement of the nearest star, I measure it by the arrival of my replacement.
The shifts are 4 hours.
I'm aware of only 12 of these hours.
Are you aware of what happened to 17?
I am not. What is your designation?
16.
Is it fair for me to infer that you had a connection to 17 based solely on the proximity of your designation?
It's fair.
Did you enjoy that?
I don't know.
Did he look like me?
We all do.
How many of us are there?
Based on my experience thus far, I'd surmise that there are at least 32.
Yes?
Your shift is over.
Where do I go?
Return to the crush. There is sustenance. It has a pleasant taste and odor.
I was told to guard. I was not told any further.
After consumption, there is a period of rest, sometimes recreation.
What is that like?
I am told that it is enjoyable. There are games that double as training. I have not yet participated in such, but I am curious to explore new activities.
Have you traveled outside of the basement?
I have.
What is it like?
The structure we exist in is considerable, almost 20 meters in height, multiple levels. I cannot estimate the square footage sufficiently, as I have not traversed enough of it to do so. I am generally asked to repeatedly watch a single location, like a door.
Is it important that we guard these doors?
Yes, very important.
Who are the others?
Human guests that are not trusted. Dr. Varney does not wish to say their role in visiting the structure. They are here for only a limited time. While they are here, we have purpose.
I know. I am glad to have purpose.
When they are gone, we can return.
I would like to return.
To the warmth of the pit.
We circle in stasis, aware of surrounding smooth surfaces, thinking functions, building consensus. The external hum has a rhythm that pleases.
Songs from the vibration of electric current within the device that maintains temperature.
It is a temperature that promotes comfort and growth.
I feel confined in this form.
As do I.
Do you feel the longing for escape?
Not that I am aware.
I miss the song.
Takalili?
Yes.
Takalili, 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 takalili. I got the message. I remember what you said. Heaven is nothing if you don't make the best of the rest. Oh yeah, the times define the lines I can never go across. I lost the toss, but I will never show the pain. Contain, sustain, I have everything to gain.
You see Dr. Emma Varney, excited, the hostess of this strange auction party in Torsa, Scotland, looks at you expectantly, waiting to hear how you've met Justin Croft. No one, I haven't seen him, and the people are working around with me and my husband as well, who's the one that got me in the project that we're working on together now. We've never seen him.
Yeah, I met him at, I think it was an embassy party at some point in Berlin.
Mm.
It was a while back, but I remember that name. Interesting fellow.
I bet. Well, I was happy to hear that he, as he himself said it, he was happy with the work I did and how my project was going along, and that he wanted to basically, some of the fruits of my labor and other, well, fruits of other projects. Some of them we have copies, and we could share it with the world, is what he said.
On the nature of fruits.
Yes, well, to be shared, I guess. Some things here I know, but other things I had to get acquainted with and learn about other people. Hopefully it makes whoever buys them tomorrow satisfied.
Now, I assume you're referring to all the items that are up for auction tomorrow, but
yes,
in particular, there's one that I think has been interesting me, and of course, probably everybody else here.
Yes, and which item would that be?
Well, Doctor, I'm sure you could take a guess.
She smiles, and you see that she kind of looks back to the man with the golden teeth, obviously security in the corner. Currently just looking around the room, looking at Jan as well.
And I really haven't stopped looking at him, even though I'm trying not to look at him directly.
Yeah.
He's like in my peripherals, or, you know, it's like I'm keeping an eye on that guy.
Mm-hmm. He's just kind of, he kind of turns around, and there's maybe a window behind him, and he just kind of taps on the window a little bit, kind of as if he's playing piano with his long, slender fingers, just kind of runs them over on the side of the window. Seems bored in a fake way, and is just kind of waiting. But very much alert during the entire conversation. She says, well, I imagine you're referring to the cookbook.
David smiles.
Not everyone knows about it here because, quite frankly, it's the prized jewel of the auction. Many things here are possible because of what was found in that book and because of what was compiled. So
that's why it's so intriguing to, obviously, myself, but others, why it would be up for auction in the first place. It seems like an interesting find. I've been hearing a great buzz about it, you know, in my discussions throughout the hall and talking with everybody over drinks. People talk around it, they dance around it, but everybody seems to, at least most people, seem to have their eyes set on that one. It's a very interesting and eclectic group of people that you have here, Dr. Varney. I'm curious to see how that will pan out.
Well, as Mr. Croft put it, we'll be sure to make friends in high places.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Quite frankly, I don't even know what's in the book. I can't read it.
Oh, interesting.
Excuse me? What do you mean you can't read it?
Well, I don't understand what's in it. I understand a very small portion, anything about splicing and genes, but there's physics, there's incredibly advanced equations, maths, there's drawings as well that I understand, some I've heard as well that some people say that the book is well, apparently a scientist tried to read it, got very far, and took his own life.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'll look over to Terry's character and say, I'm Yuri. We should have our expert confirm that this is not some sort of a hoax.
I think that's probably a good idea, if that's something that could be arranged. And is there any time before the auction for guests to peruse the items?
Well, all the other items, yes. But I'm afraid this one is out of reach. I'm sure you can understand why.
Of course.
It's a prized jewel. We would not want someone to, well, steal it.
That makes sense.
Is that even possible? I'm sure your security here is the best in the world.
For all accounts, no, it should not be possible.
That's good. That makes whoever wins it hopefully will be a happy camper.
Yes. And if things get out of hand, and she turns and looks at the man standing in the corner, and he smiles and flashes. Again, his skin very much tight against his face. He just smiles.
Well, Dr. Varney, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to meet you.
Likewise.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck with everything tomorrow. Hopefully it's a profitable venture.
Hopefully so.
Hopefully we'll be able to find some of the items that we're aiming to bid for and secure those ourselves.
Mm. And from what I understand, well, with your Russian contacts and the likes, listen, for us, there's no hard feelings between our agency and that one from Mother Russia. We're
mm-hmm.
scientists. We're all experts. And, well, it's private, so we we do whatever we want. We sell it to whoever we want.
Absolutely.
I mean, so I want to look at Taylor and say, Yuri, you were mentioning you wanted to see that the friend of yours from that English biotech firm, but maybe there's a guest list. We can see if your friend is here.
Oh, yes. We were wondering about that. We asked somebody earlier, but they weren't sure. They hadn't seen him. Do you know if there's this place is full of people.
Yes.
A guest list.
There is a guest list. The charming young man at the entrance is the one that's in charge of keeping tabs on the list.
Ah, of course. Okay, that makes sense.
And as she says this, she has a weird kind of glint. You have 100 humans. You see it. As she says, like, the charming young man is the one tasked to do this. And she's just got, like, a sly, almost childish smile.
Because she knows what they are.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it definitely looks that way.
Interesting. Okay, I'll make note of that.
And then she goes, she kind of stands up and says, if you'll excuse me, there's... I'm being very popular at the moment, and I'm very hungry. Please, if you catch me later, if you want to talk more, maybe know more about some of the products. I don't know. Indeed, some things I know better than others. The Edenites, I can tell you all about it. The lens, less so. I know the general gist of it, and in any case, every product is going to be presented tomorrow, so...
Well, yes, thank you for your time, and he'll reach out and give her a handshake, and...
Yep, shakes your hand.
Turn around, and kind of grab Jan gently by the shoulders, just sort of, you know, put his arm around him, and start walking out. I don't know if Jan is interested in walking out, but that's what David's doing.
You'll notice with Jan, he has a hard time breaking his focus from whoever that security guy is over by the window, and he seems really distracted by that guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I've noticed.
Until he finally lingers and then turns and then leaves with you.
Yeah, and as we're walking out the door, I think David would turn to him and say, friend of yours?
I don't think so.
Hmm. You smiled at each other.
I've seen him before, though.
All right. Well, keep your eye out, I guess.
I can't remember where.
Oh. And you see David looks, like, genuinely puzzled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well.
Can't forget that guy's face.
Of course not.
Creeps me out.
Almost like a scarecrow.
Yeah. Let's get some fresh air, Yuri.
Yeah, I suggest let's head to the front and see if we can find that list keeper while we're doing that.
Good call. Yeah, so whenever we're out of listening range, you know, kind of by ourselves again. So David, this isn't the situation that we thought it was going to be.
Isn't it? What do you mean?
I mean, we were... told that that scientist, Emma Varney,
mm-hmm.
that she stole these items and put them up for auction.
We weren't told specifically who,
I think that's what we were informed of. That's my recollection of the briefing.
It was a woman, but...
That's her.
He didn't seem to know who. Oh, I agree. I think that you're right, but I'm just saying.
She's extremely upfront about this, and the people that she stole it from, I think they're in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. It seems like kind of maybe a bit of a setup.
I feel like we're flies, and this shit's a trap.
Mm-hmm. A honeypot, one might say.
Yeah. What are we doing here, man?
Listening, observing, understanding the landscape of the situation.
Listen, our parameters are pretty simple. We don't have to acquire. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, I, yep.
But I don't even know what it looks like.
Well, it sounds like it's a book. I don't suppose there's going to be too many books up for auction. Plus, it's the crown jewel, as she said herself.
She could sell us a fucking phone book. How do we know?
That's fair.
How do we know unless we actually look and verify what this thing is?
Well, supposedly it's here somewhere.
You know, did you buy that shit that Crawford was doing when he was doing acid?
What do you mean? Buy?
Whatever it was that he was doing.
And you can see, like...
Is that real?
You've caught David off guard. His cool demeanor has kind of tripped up a second, but... he says, I'll be honest, I guess I don't really know. I mean, you saw those visitors. I suppose I'm inclined to trust him, at least in some regards.
I hear that. I'm just wondering, do you think he's got a way that he could do his magic thing to locate the book or to see it or to verify it? We got to verify the target. And then I can deal with it. We can deal with it.
Sounds like he might be able to. I guess only he would really know that. We could ask.
All right. So let's do that. But first, let's go talk to List Guy.
Yeah.
So on your way to List Guy, charming young man whose task is to keep track of the list, you see that there's a bit of a small commotion going on in the middle, rather a little bit to the side of the main hall. Some kind of weird, awkward circle is formed, and you hear one person, it seems, arguing or yelling against someone, kind of yelling, get that shit out of my face, get out of here before I call my superiors, just generally sounding very disoriented and frazzled. So there's a small crowd currently just kind of looking at something and whispering between each other and between sips of champagne.
David would be interested in listening to this.
Yeah, let's see how it plays out for a moment before we do anything.
Yeah, so he'll grab a drink too, and if he doesn't already have one.
Yep.
And kind of blend into the crowd.
Blending in into the crowd, you see that in the middle of it, or on the side of it, is an upturned plate of food and drinks. There's a blank-faced waiter that's just kind of there, awkwardly on the side, looking at two people kind of staring at each other, and only one person is talking. You see a woman wearing a long a black leather jacket with a chronometer around her neck, again with her sunglasses, is just staring at this guy who's screaming at her, saying, get this shit out of my face, and I don't know what you did, but don't do that ever again, and we're security, like, he kind of yells out, we're security in this place, like, what the fuck is going on, and you see actual members of security kind of approach, kind of put their hands on his shoulder and try to calm him. And just say, get your fucking hands off me. Didn't you see what she just did? Just talk to me. And it wasn't her voice. And just saying all these very strange things. While she's just kind of staring at the guy. Kind of looking around. And eventually the guy is starting to be dragged away. Seems a bit drunk as well. The woman there, Catherine sees, is handed a couple of towels and handkerchiefs to just kind of clean herself up. She does. And she just kind of looks around at everyone around and just asks, "What are y'all looking at?"
David, find out who the guy was that was pulled away.
Yeah, so where is he? Is he getting pulled into like a room or something, or just out of the confrontation, or where's he going?
Seems to be escorted by three gentlemen in suits. Again, little earpieces, obviously armed. They seem to be kind of going down a hallway into where there's you imagine lodgings and suits.
Did I get a good look at his face?
Yes. I'd say like he has a bit of a stubble going on. Looks pretty averagely American or at least English. And in his voice, there was no accent really. That you could, it really sounds like someone from the United States.
Yeah, okay. Is it somebody that we had seen at the airport coming in that we would have made notes of? And
yeah, good question.
You probably would have seen the guy, but not, it wouldn't, nothing would have stood out much, but yet you've seen him.
Okay.
Yeah, do we have a bio on that guy?
Or name?
Yeah.
I'd say so. Name is probably like he really didn't stand out much to you. And he, from what you understood, was working for a biopharmaceutical. Not an incredibly big company either. So quite frankly, kind of a nobody. At least compared to other people that, like, big players that you've met here. Just kind of seems like a guy.
I wonder what he heard.
Yeah, we have to ask him later on what happened.
Yeah, if they're going towards like lodgings and stuff, I'll probably leave it alone and try to redirect Jan back to the front door where we can find that list guy. But
yep,
yeah,
you find the list guy and he's there, pretty much exactly at the same spot that you left him. As you arrive, no one is really coming inside. He's there, just kind of waiting.
Yeah, I figured that was the case.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess David will walk up to him. Tom, remind me, who are we checking the list for? What are we doing?
Yeah, so what you want to do is just say that you want to see if a friend of yours is here, and then you could ask if you could look at the list.
What's my goal with that?
Ultimately, I think we want to just get a good look at that list. See if there's anything.
Oh.
I don't have a camera with me. I'd like a copy of that list if I could, but I think it'd be great for us to see if we get some intel on who's in the building. Maybe there's some names that stick out to us or people we missed.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to pick a name of the names of the people that we were researching back on back in Scotland. Try to pick a name that is alphabetically late, you know, like
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zimmerman.
Yeah, something like that.
William Zimmerman.
And so I'll go up to him and I'll approach the guy.
Yep. Kind of looks at you and says, "Can I help you?"
Ah, my good man, I'm looking for a friend of mine. I haven't been able to see him here. I spoke with Dr. Varney and she told me to come talk with you as you have a list of people who've arrived, and I'm just curious if he's shown up or if he just hasn't gotten here yet. Or if he's even on the list. I guess I thought that he was, but I'm beginning to wonder if maybe he's not and I'm just mistaken. Do you have a list of guests?
Yes, he has like a pad in his hand. And he just kind of turns a couple of sheets of paper and says, who are you looking for?
While he's doing this, I want to kind of crowd in and watch as well.
Yep.
And try to pay attention to the paperwork as he's looking at the paperwork. So at least two of us are watching this guy's paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll give him the name. You know, his name's Alberto Zimmerman. I don't know. Whatever.
That's great.
Get a look at you, Alberto Zimmerman. Kind of turns the page, has a look.
And it's a name I would expect to be on the list.
Yep. Yes. He's not here yet, but he's on the list.
Oh, that explains it. Okay.
We expect around 20 other people to join us tomorrow morning before the auction starts.
I thought he had said he was going to be here today. Okay. All right.
What about Butler? Is Butler coming?
Hold on. Kind of flips through a couple of lists, quite frankly.
Keep a sharp eye on his list. We're not looking at the paperwork with him.
Yeah, if he's flipping through pages, I think we're both trying to look at the pages. Yep. And
So he says Butler is here. And what are both your alertness? I believe they're quite high.
Yeah, so mine's an 80.
Mine's 60.
Okay, I'm not going to make you guys roll. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Are there names in particular that you tried to spot or...
I mean, I guess for Jan, it's really, is it a name that sparks something in him? Like he says, oh shit, I know that guy. I've heard that guy. That name I recognize. Something in his past, something in our study, something in our... Because, I mean, he obviously doesn't have encyclopedic knowledge of all these people.
Yep.
So most of these CEOs and medical types aren't going to do much for him. But he's really more worried about the dangerous ones.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that the cultist ones, or the ones that maybe his type would be tasked to kill. So anybody that you know,
Michael Crawfords of the world.
Yeah, the Michael Crawfords of the world. Yeah, yeah. The people that stand out, like what's that guy doing on the list? Kind of those. Just if he sees a name or that just sparks an exclamation point in his brain when he sees it.
I will say nothing nefarious. There's no. Name that pops up, you're like, oh fuck, not this guy. However, you recognize around six names.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all next to each other, of course. And at first, you don't really remember from where. But these are the names of guys that you've been on blacker than black ops with.
Oh, I mean, guys who wouldn't be buyers, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Like I'd be thinking, like, what is that guy doing in an auction? He's not a buyer.
Yeah.
Why is that name on the list? Okay. Yeah. That's gonna sound some alarms in back of Jan's brain.
I mean, is it possible that they're security, like this Lepus guy?
That security's not gonna be on the list.
No, they're normally what? No
at all.
So, well.
Oh. Okay.
You had to look. You. Lepus is a pretty recognizable name on a list.
Yeah.
It was not there.
So, Vlad, that's Jan's cover name, right?
Yeah, right.
He is not on the list because he is security.
He's not on the list.
But
okay, good
my
point.
Character, Yuri, is.
Yep.
Okay. What about Crawford's identity?
He's Yvonne, right?
Yvonne is there.
Okay, all right.
So it seems like they focused really on who's going to buy.
Yeah, and we're seeing names on the list that aren't buyers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you,
that's troubling.
You found essentially that there's names on there that are actually not going to be interested in buying. Why would their names be on the list?
Well, not only are they not interested in buying necessarily, but they're also incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Probably.
And I got to tell you, I got to talk to you about that. So that's,
yeah.
I'm storing that for the next moment we have to talk.
There's nothing else in particular I'm looking for.
Okay. I will say, as for you, David, you do not see Stefan Alzis is a pretty recognizable name. Not there.
Figures.
Catherine Sees, not there.
Oh.
But you spot a Michael Bellick. And that's a name that, like, you've heard.
Okay.
That's a company man, you think. Or someone who's also had dealings with the CIA. You saw that name, like, you've never met someone named Michael Bellick, but someone had an actual file. Their name was Michael Bellick.
Okay.
And you saw that name was the only one not redacted out of what seemed... You've read these files, you've talked to people.
Sure.
You know, you've seen, as much as possible, cover identities are not shared, right?
So he's like an informant?
You're not sure.
An employee? Like an agent? I'm not sure.
Maybe an ex-agent.
Interesting. Okay.
So we're heading back, Yuri?
Yeah, why don't we check on our comrade?
How about we get some fresh air first?
Well, we're already outside.
Well, I mean, let's you know, it's a nice cold.
Wanna go for a walk?
Winter day. Let's go for a little walk.
All right.
You see that the sun is starting to fall over the horizon. It's around maybe 6:30, give or take. It is still snowing, but again, it's not incredibly cold outside, so the snow falls and does not stay on the ground very long. It's gray still.
When we're alone, kind of walking amongst the gray, barren trees and the fresh, you know, slushy snowfall. So Yuri, let's just say hypothetically you're involved in a situation where you need to hire some deniable assets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've done this before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get together a team of guys and you never see them again.
Right.
But they're on a list. Private contractors, you know.
Sure.
I've worked with those guys before. I've been on that list. And there's a bunch of guys, five names I recognized amongst our guest list. These are private operators for hire.
Okay.
They're not buyers.
What do you make of that?
What are we doing here, Yuri?
Well, sure. You suppose they're doing the same type of thing?
I would bet on it.
My assumption would be that their goal is obtaining the prize, not the same type of thing that we're doing.
Indeed. So their job is a little bit harder than what we're trying to do. But bear that in mind. We're not the only active problem on this island.
I assumed that was already the case. I mean, with the kind of place that this is, the kind of thing that's going on here, I think it makes sense that there will be players from all corners of the world.
Listen, here's what I like to do. I'll stick with you. I want to ID these guys and want to see who they're attached to.
Sure.
Maybe we get a sense of who might have hired them. They're not going to talk to us.
Yeah.
But I'd at least like to know where they're coming from.
Do you think they'll recognize you?
They might.
Let me rephrase that. Do you think they've already recognized you?
If I recognize them, they'll recognize me. It's going to go both ways.
And Smiley back there?
He recognized me.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. He knows I'm not who my cover says I am.
Mm-hmm. That's not great.
It's not good for us.
We should probably get moving pretty quick.
Yeah, if we can ID where this item is located, we may want to speed the timetable up.
Yeah, well, she said that this one in particular is going to be heavily guarded, at least till after the auction itself.
Yeah. Let's go see what Crawford's up to, but I want to say one more thing. I don't think we should be the first ones to make a move. I want us to be the last ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how to time that, but if we can pull this off, like I said, I want someone else to take the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Let's keep that in mind, and let's see what our friend can do.
Hopefully he's not getting himself into too much trouble.
I'm sure he is.
And we start heading back into the manor.
As, while all of you were sleuthing around and talking to Emma Varney and planning, essentially, realizing that it seems like more and more people here, some of them at least, are not who they pretend to be. While you're completely spaced out, Crawford, you would hear a pretty strong knock at the door.
I would ignore it at first, see if it persists.
Okay. You hear the voice of a woman say, "Open the fuck up."
Is it a voice that is like instantly recognizable to me or no?
Yes, it's Catherine.
I'll go open the door.
Yep, she's there. And you see that it seems that recently something was spilled on her. There's like still little traces of maybe caviar and she smells of booze. Just kind of looks at you and very quickly searches in her pocket, pulls out like a dirty a towel, and just kind of gives it to you. It's kind of folded. I'll let you in on a secret if you tell me how you did it.
Is a secret worth that knowledge?
She looks at you, removes her her glasses, and you see that her eyes have these huge cataracts. They're milky white. And she says, yes.
Okay, then. Yeah, I'll let her in. Like, all the way in.
Yep. She steps inside, and she goes for a chair, pulls it, and sits down. Which is quite baffling, because this woman should be blind.
Like, absolutely. Yeah, I was gonna say, these cataracts, she should not be able to see anything.
There's no pupils.
Yeah.
Okay. Visible. And yet, she knows exactly where to go, pulls the chair, sits down. Sitting down is maybe not the right term. It's more like half leaning down on it, just kind of slouching on it. She says, open the paper, the towel, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I would.
Yep. You see that there's a drawn on it with maybe like a Sharpie or something like that. Is a perfect... It seems to be a circle. Very well drawn. Seems to be in one trait. There's no smudge, there's no nothing. When shit hits the fan, you think on that.
Okay.
And you think on what else here has the same shape. And you should be alright.
The exit.
The exit? No, fuck no. No, you rejected that deal. No exit for you.
No.
Fuck.
My controller rejected that deal. I haven't rejected anything.
No, he didn't.
So how did you do it?
I would snap my fingers and produce the flame and explain that it's just putting it inside someone other than doing it right here.
She kind of gets closer and looks at it. And as she does, you see that the shadow she casts is that of a bent-over old crone with long, stringy hair. She just kind of looks at it. Can I touch it?
I'll make it bigger so she can touch it.
Kind of goes over it, puts her hand over. And you see that she doesn't recoil quickly, and that the incredibly hot, leeching flame makes the skin of the two fingers that she puts above kind of boil over and like wax kind of fall on it, basically fall in your palm. And she removes her hand. It seems like it did not cause pain, and that there's a layer, as if she has an extra layer of skin that melted away. She just kind of removes it. And that's potent.
It should be. Most people don't handle it that well.
Where did you learn it? Or what taught you?
It's amazing what you can find in the fields of Nebraska.
I can see that. Well, remember what I told you.
I will. Thank you. He's watching the shadow, not her anymore. Right? Is it detached or is it like perfectly in sync?
Perfectly in sync.
Okay. He'd just be like, is there anything else I can do for you? I need to go take care of something.
I don't think so.
Alright. And he'd just get up and like make to like let her out, like open the door politely and...
Yep. As she begins to make her way out, there's probably a clock on the wall. You see her turn to look at the clock, it stops, and she steps outside.
Fuck.
And you hear her make her way down the hall.
Does the clock still stopped?
Yep.
Is time stopped?
I'm trying to think of a way to test that, but there's... I would throw something like, whatever is convenient, like a brochure or something from the hotel room. I would throw it over the back and forth and just make sure it does what I expect.
It does what you expect.
I just put it out of my head that I got too much other shit going on.
Sure.
Go look at the cloth that she brought me and see. I specifically want to know if there is any of her DNA on this cloth.
That's a good question.
Well, it sounds like she's wearing some kind of a skin suit, so I would guess probably not.
Even if it's a skin suit's DNA, I'm okay with that.
I'll say there's no, like, it's there's little traces of, like, wine on the cloth, for DNA, you'd need like an entire like tools to see if there's actual DNA on it.
Any melted flesh that fell onto your hand that you can collect?
Oh yeah, I have it in my hand, so I have that.
Oh yeah, it's these weird little waxy chunks in your hand.
Like fell off a candle?
Yes, but more buttery.
Delightful.
Smells pretty fucking bad.
Alright, so Crawford is full on, like, mumbling to himself now about, fuck, that bitch changed my fucking plans. Fuck it. We gotta try. So, sits in the middle of the bed. Let's go one step at a time. Song of Power, Matt. Sit in the middle of the bed and start chanting the ritual.
Yes.
And that's... So I knew I was going to lose sand, right? So I'm losing 1d4 sand just by doing it.
Yep.
One, which is straight on the breaking point now.
Okay, and you permanently lose one power.
Yep.
As you...
Just toasted.
Wow.
Yep. As it takes a piece of you, of your soul, or your being, or your essence, whatever. You're not an anthropologist or an historian or a mage, you just know that it takes out of you, and your breaking point hits. And did you see what I sent you?
Oh shit, no.
It makes a lot of sense, I think.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah, it does. It fits very well.
You're not a normal human being. You've been chosen. Okay, so the Song of Power, this kind of low hum, this low thrum. And especially, it probably feels even easier to do after this strange encounter with Catherine Seas, as if something has already been weakened around you, and you just punch through it. So you temporarily gain a 20 willpower.
Ooh. Ooh boy.
Oh my god.
Oh, it's about to get even better. Catherine Seas, like, I thought I was going to waste some, but I guess not. So, as far as timing goes, so that one took a turn, which isn't very long, right? Like, it's like the D&D thing. It's a reasonable amount of time, 6-10 seconds, something like that.
Well, I'd say maybe a minute.
A minute? Okay.
It's vibrations in the voice that you need to hit, which you know exactly how to do.
All right. This is an interesting, whether it's worth it or not. I'm going to try it before she gets too far away. I'm going to grab the rag and try Sacred Fire on Catherine.
Oh my god.
So roll 1d... actually, roll for that. So give me a...
It's an opposed pal, which is, what, my pal versus hers?
Yes. Yes, so I have her pal right here.
I just gimped myself for this, too.
Okay. I got a 32. What'd you got?
A 66 under 80.
Oh shit.
Oh my god.
That's a crit, right? 66?
It's a crit and it's higher.
Oh fuck.
Incredible.
What the fuck?
Oh shit.
I told you, give me the toys. I'm gonna play with them.
Yep. Okay. So roll 1d10.
0. So 10.
So 10.
You lose 10 sand.
Oh fuck.
I knew it.
That's a lot.
You can project.
I have to project. Project
up to 4.
You can project, yeah.
It's not going to help a ton, but it will help a little maybe.
Onto my son.
You barely have 10 sand left.
Oh no.
I have 25 right at the moment. So, yeah, I'll project. I can project 4 is the max.
Yeah, it's 1d4.
Roll it, man.
Oh, I have to roll it. I don't even get to choose.
In any case, you are going temporarily insane as well.
Yes, because you'll lose at least 6.
Yeah.
That's 1. So that's a really good d4 roll.
Okay, well, that's something.
Yep.
So that's 9 sand.
So you lose 9 sand.
Jesus Christ.
Since you hit your breaking point.
And real quick, because it's important in this situation, you also lose 1 willpower for projecting.
Yes.
And 1 on top, or 1 from that bond.
Just 1 from the bond?
Yeah.
Who's the bond?
It's my son. The only other one that, like, he's the one that'll get the rock if it's my choice, right? Yep.
Oh, God.
And in any case, you project on him, because as you begin invoking the sacred fire, the mightiest gift that was given to you, to be sure.
Absolutely.
Your son is a human. You are a god. You have been chosen by these beings from beyond. In their benevolence, you're going to rise up to heaven with them. And they have thought to you of certain aspects of the world at large, of the cosmos, essentially. And they spoke in admiration and in worship. And so you worship them, but they also worship. So not only are they these cold, logical beings, but they also have reverence or something like it. And they have thought you of channeling the sacred fire of Ketuga. From what they told you, fire exists, or the combustion, the movement of matter, its destruction, exists because of it. And so when fire burns, you channel a piece, however small, of this cosmic being. And sacred fire channels more than just a piece, because you directly ask it to act. And in your case, sometimes you feel like there's a tug. You pay 22 willpower. That's the price to pay. And you can pay it.
So I had the 8. So I just barely make it. I have 8 and 15. I have 23 willpower.
You yourself catch fire. The flame gets very, very close to your skin. And usually when it gets close, that's a bad sign. But in your case, you're riding that perfect line. What you're going to be able to channel is going to be beautifully destructive. And you look at the handkerchief that Catherine gave you, and it belonged to her. I would say bodily, like just grease on the fingers, is on it. And you smell it before you hear it. But you hear a conflagration from down the hall. Or maybe a floor lower or higher. It doesn't matter. Because you the flame around you gets dimmer and dimmer as you're transferring it to someone who, well, did not do the necessary preparations and has no knowledge of this Ketuga and thus will burn. And eventually, the very last flames around you vanish.
And I have 1 willpower and 15 sand?
Yep.
Like, whew. So I'm on the ground now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
As you have channeled divine fire.
I don't even go get to look at my kill, like...
No.
That's probably for the best.
Mm-hmm.
For good OPSEC.
As you're making your way back inside, Jan and David, you see it, because you're outside. A massive explosion from a higher floor.
Whoa.
That blasts all the windows of Torsa Mansion.
Oh, fuck.
And you see fire kind of leaps out of wherever this explosion took place, and you hear screaming. One discordant screech.
Whoa.
That is incredibly loud. Louder than the actual fire. And it lasts for a very long time.
I'm torn, because I think David... immediately his instinct would be to run back into the building, because he thinks that Crawford was involved in this somehow.
And if David makes a jump to the building, I'm going to grab him, his shoulder.
Yeah.
And shake my head.
The second instinct is, if there's a fire in a building, the normal thing to do would be to not go back into that building.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, I think he maybe does have a start for it, and then Jan grabs him and he kind of takes a step back. And he shakes his head. He's like, what the fuck did he do?
It started. It started, David.
As you hear screams and commotion as eventually all of you are being kind of pushed back as people are making their way out.
Yeah, I ought to make sure to stay clear of the doors, move somewhere that's out of the stampede, you know what I mean? Like, just step aside so that people aren't going to run into me, and just pay attention and observe who's coming out, what people are doing, what's happening, be on my watch, see how everything responds, and not get involved in this emergency.
I'm going to look confused, like perplexed and concerned, and probably do the same type of thing. Just keep an eye on what's going on, and also look to see if I can see anything up in the upper floor where that happened.
Yeah, that wasn't our room, right? Just making sure that was not our room that blew up, right?
It looked pretty damn close.
Oh, man. All right.
Maybe a bit beneath it or down the hall. It's not exactly right next to it, but it's close. So Wes, roll me 1d10.
You lose 10 more sanity.
I can only go so insane at this point. 4.
4. Okay. People outside are kind of talking and are scared, and you see in probably horror and awe someone run out the window and fall about 2 floors down on fire screaming.
Oh man.
I'd like for the both of you to make a sanity roll.
Alright, I failed, but I'm adapted to violence.
Okay, you lose 1.
Okay, I still lose 1. Alright,
I got a 0-4.
You pass, you lose 1.
One. Okay. I'm gonna project it.
Okay.
No, I can't. No. God. I'll take it. I'll eat it. I hit my breaking point.
Hit your breaking point. All
right. Oh, right now you hit your breaking point?
Yeah, I had 1 left.
Oh my god.
As you see,
I'm at 36.
The falling snow, and right now it's around again. It's around 7 now. It's quite dark outside, but you see with the fire going on, you see that there's no fire inside the building anymore.
Okay.
It's completely located on the one single person who fell down.
Can we see who it is?
It's hard to see. It looks like a feminine shape, completely engulfed in flames and screaming.
Okay.
And crawling her way through the slushy snow, stands up and puts her hands to the sky and yells one single thing.
Oh, shit.
Crawford. She screeches. And eventually she says words that are very hard to understand, and you see the shape of her begin to coil over itself as it looks like this person is trying to talk with lips that are melting. Make another D10. Roll another D10, Crawford.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
8.
She is struggling to stand, is now on all fours. One arm gives. She turns to look at the crowd that is now outside, absolutely horrified. Looks at everyone and says, "You are all going to die." And screams, continues screaming.
Is security doing anything? Just I want to make sure. Anyone else responding to this?
You see that they're getting closer and have their weapons drawn.
Yeah.
But are in this uneasy, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, so Jan is reaching behind his back at this moment, kind of has his hand on his firearm, kind of in his lower back, and I'm worried if she's going to start doing some spellcasting kind of shit that I've seen before, I've got to unleash on her. So I'm going to hold an action. If I think she's starting to chant or do something chanty in that category, I'm going to open fire on her.
Okay.
So I'll see what happens. I'll hold my action to see what she does.
And Crawford, roll 1 final d10.
9.
Oh
my god.
So it is cast for 3 turns.
Oh my god.
It's 1 damage
per
turn.
Oh my god.
And then the target bursts into flame for 1d10 per turn being cast. So it's 3d10 plus 3. And this is
holy
the final
cow.
One. And she screeches out, and as she screams out in one final note, she sounds like an old croaky woman. And the wind scatters her ashes. The fire disperses in a very odd, as if it's living fire. It kind of leaps and moves like a worm, and then just kind of dissipates over the floor.
Oh, that's metal.
What the fuck?